Just open, thank you, Father. Especially for right now, for the next hour or so, that we can share in fellowship one with another, and of course with you and with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we look forward to hearing what Don has to say to us this afternoon. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, would you please open up to Mark's Gospel?
Oh, they already.
Mark's Gospel, please. And chapter 13. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Let's read from verse 28 to the end. Mark 13, verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender, puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things happening, and he's talking about the events of the tribulation, actually, know that it is near, or he is near, at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to this generation, or race, will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, these verses 32 are important for us. But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. To each one his work, commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, crowing of the cock, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to all, I say to all, watch. So the thought here is watch, and don't go to sleep. That's the important thing here. Would you please go also back to Matthew's Gospel? Matthew's Gospel. I'll just get my notes out here for a moment. In Matthew's Gospel, please, and go to chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We'll come back to Mark. Matthew 24. And we'll read the last section of this chapter. Matthew 24, we'll start at verse 42. Read just a few verses here. Matthew 24 and verse 42. I'm going to read through to the end. But I know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household and to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if any of his servants says in his heart, my master is delayed in his coming, he begins to beat his fellow servants who eat and drink with the drunkards. Master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of. And we'll cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll come back to that in a moment.
Hello, both Don.
Oh, hello, Nigel. Good to see you.
And you.
We've read Mark chapter 13, a few verses, and we've just read Matthew 24, a few verses. And the thought here is encouraging people to watch and pray. Watch and pray. So I'm just going to read a few notes to you, if I may. Of course, those times are the great tribulation times, not our times. But even so, there is a challenge to believers of our day to be on the watch. And that's the point. Now, what we're watching for, of course, is the Lord coming for the church. We call that the rapture and the resurrection of true believers. We know that's true. So there is a necessity to be on the watch, to be watchful Christians. Now, in the present climate, the way things are around us, both in the world of politics and all sorts of things, medication and so on, these things can be quite disconcerting, quite obviously. But it must not take our hearts and minds and thoughts away from being watchful Christians. So I think it's a relevant word for today. We're called to be watchful Christians and not to be distracted by the very sad events around us, which are troubling indeed. So as believers, we need to be watchful, we need to be prayerful, and be prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's not my main theme, though, of course, that is true. And the first letter of John, you needn't turn to it. The first letter of John, it's in chapter 3, verse 2, and it speaks about the Lord's coming as well. When he says, now, there's a time coming when we shall see him and we shall be like him. And he said, he that has this hope in him purifies himself just as the Lord is pure, as he is pure. So in other words, what we're thinking of here, that as we are alert to the possibility or called imminence of the coming of the Lord for the church, rapture and resurrection, then the hope that we have is a purifying element to our Christian life. The fact that we hope in the coming of the Lord is a purifying element. It sorts us out what is important and what is not so important. So these things are indeed is important here. Now, in the Matthew, let's go to the Matthew one for a moment. In Matthew here, I'm in chapter 24, Nigel, Matthew 24, where we were just now, reading those verses. Let's look at verses 43 and 44. Matthew 24, 43 and 44. And this is where, in the parable, of course, is that the person who owns his home should be very much on the watch should he get an invasion from a thief. And the whole point is that we don't know when a thief will come, hopefully not. And in a sense, for the Jewish believers in the Great Tribulation, they've got to be on the watch out for the second coming of the Lord. But you and I are on the watch for the coming of the Lord for the church, which is different. So the thought there is being on the watch, very much so in the parable of the householder. We have a household, we are householders in one sense, not physically about our homes, but a householder having responsibility in the work of the Lord. That's like being a householder, having responsibility in the work of the Lord, in his house, which is a church, a body, a building, and so on. So that's important. So we are to be on the watch for the coming of the Lord, having our responsibility to the body of Christ and to those outside Christ, in our responsibility as good stewards to the Lord. But at the same time, be always on the watch. I know we can't do that 24 hours a day, but in our back of our minds, to be on the watch for the imminent coming of the Lord, to be ready. Of course, the idea of coming as a thief is not to us, because we're expecting him. But the thief element comes to the world at large and perhaps to the Jewish people as well. So that's important there. Just go on to verses 45 to 51. Here he's calling, in Matthew 24, 45 to 51, the faithful servant who is faithfully serving the Lord. And in verse 46, there's blessing on the faithfulness of the servant. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing, serving in the household as well. A faithful servant in the household of faith, the Lord's own people. So that's important. And there's reward there. And of course, there's a lack of reward for the unfaithful servant, which I'm not going into right now. Now, it's very interesting that the alert householder was anticipating the possibility of the return of the master or the house, well, who owns a house, of course. And he's only a householder, in a sense. We're in a position where we are holding firm for the Lord, and until he comes, of course, down here. What's very interesting is that word, person who is on the watch. Going back to verse 42, watch, therefore, be on the watch. Now, that's very important there. I'd like just to make a reference here to Mark's Gospel. So would you go forward to Mark's Gospel again? Mark's Gospel, in that section of chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And in verse 33 of Mark 13, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Of course, we don't. And that applied to the tribulation saints too, and the Jewish people who are believers. But be on the watch. Take heed. Pay attention to that, what the Lord says. You know, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Both go together. As our prayer times, we're always on the watch as well, seeking the Lord and all these matters. But there's a very interesting comment I'd like to read to you here from a very good commentary on this. And there are two words here. In verse 33, you've got take heed, watch, and pray. And then in verse 35, you've got the word watch. They are two different words in the Greek, translated the same for English. I'd like to distinguish between the two, and that's important. In the first one, where it's verse 33, take heed, watch, and pray. The word there is a word which speaks of a man who is sleeping and needs to be woken up and to be on the watch. And the background of that is a very interesting one. Because during the times of the Jewish temple in those days, there was a man who was called the captain of the temple guard. And he would walk around, and the guards at their different stations would see the temple captain come, and he would have to stand up and salute him. But should the captain of the temple guards walk around and find a person asleep, that would be very, very serious. If he was asleep, he could either have a good beating or his clothing could be set on fire. Well, what a punishment that is. So obviously it was wise for a person to stay asleep. In other words, watch and don't be caught napping. Don't be caught sleeping or you're going to be in real trouble.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it's very interesting. Now that's that first one. In the next one, it's a different word again. It means that someone who is awake, and he's a watchful, wakeful person. He's already alert. He's already watchful. He's wakeful. He's alert to all things that could go on very suddenly. He wouldn't be caught napping.
Mm-hmm.
He's awake. That's in verse 35. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Here's a man who's alert, and he's watchful. He's wakeful, and that's the meaning of the word. Wakefulness. And that's what we should be in ourselves here, wakefulness in that sense. So I thought I'd just relate that to the two different words in Mark's Gospel, very different. One who is very much asleep, and the other one who is wakeful and not caught napping by the temple captain of the guard. So you and I are called to be wakeful, not to be asleep. The problem is, I would suggest to you that much of the evangelical church is asleep to the possible coming of the Lord. They don't think about it. They're asleep. They need to get up and wake up. And what a danger that would be. If they're not ready, I know it's an allegory here, but I'm going to apply it nevertheless. Is the Lord going to beat a Christian? No, I don't think so. But he will rebuke him at the judgment seat of Christ. I wouldn't say he would burn his garments up, not at all. But I wonder if I could refer to one verse in the book of Revelation. in chapter 16 and verse 15. You want to turn to it, we can do so. Revelation 16, verse 15. Revelation 16, verse 15. And I think you'll find there that it says, blessed is he who keeps his garments, not have them burnt up, as a sleeping guard at the temple had. Blessed is he who keeps his garments, keeps them, and not loses them in the fire. Or really the fire of God's discipline, of course, not destruction, not condemnation, but discipline. And perhaps a rebuke at the beam if he's failed in that sense. So that's important there, I think, to share with that. Let's make sure we keep our garments unspotted in this world, as we are here without a doubt. So this is quite important here. And that, in those parables, both the householder and the faithful servant serving in the house are rewarded for their alertness, for their faithfulness, for their carrying out their duties in the absence of the master, in the absence of the one who has the house, the church. Now, that is just something I thought I'd just share with you on that. And also, if you're, let's go back to Matthew for a moment. Can we go back to Matthew? I think we can do that. In Matthew's gospel, or we can turn to Mark, it doesn't matter. But in Matthew's gospel, let's go back to Matthew's gospel. I want the little section where the Lord Jesus is asleep. Sorry. The disciples are asleep. I'm just finding this section now. In Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane from verse 36. And he took with him Peter and the two sons, James and John of Zebedee. And he was very sorrowful and began to pray. Verse 50 went a bit further on the way from the disciples to pray. Look in verse 40, Matthew 26, verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep. Said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour, short time? In my distress, could you not support me watchfully? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Going to sleep. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time, verse 43. Verse 43 says, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again the third time, verse 44. Then he came back in verse 45 to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. They were asleep at the most important time for Jesus to support him, to be available supporting him, even to pray with him, standing by him, kneeling by him, but they went to sleep. Of course, that is the Lord's presence there as he went to the cross. We know that. But we can also think of the time when the Lord is saying to us at the end of this church age, are you going to watch and pray? I'm coming soon. Yes, I know there's many things that are alarming us. They can be distracting, understandably, around us and outside us. But let's look at a few other scriptures that might be helpful. Should we do that? In other words, the idea is when this person was actually sleeping, as I say, on duty, watch and pray, the meaning there is chase sleep away. Get rid of it. Chase sleep away. Don't be slothful. Don't be slumbering. Wake up. Church, wake up. The coming of the Lord is indeed always imminent. Be ready serving in the household of faith. Be a faithful servant in the church. So I wonder if we could look at other places, if we could, please. And would you go to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, last chapter. First Corinthians, when I get to it, chapter 16 and verse 13. First Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 13. As Paul sums up his letter to these Corinthian Christians, and they were a difficult group, and he says to them, verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. I'm reading the New King James. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong in these difficult days, especially when should any persecution come or difficulties come, whatever it may be. Watch. Stand fast. Dig your heels in. Like the Roman soldier always had in his boots big thick studs, and he stuck them into the ground and he didn't move. He didn't go backwards. He stood his ground. Stand fast. That's the thought there. And watch, be on the watch. That's something very important. Go back to Romans, a letter before. Romans chapter 13 with me. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time. Here's the instruction. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up, get alert, be watchful, stand fast. It's high time to wake up out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In other words, the final aspect of our salvation being with the Lord. It's nearer when we first believe. So he says, watch, wake up. Wake up from slumbering. Wake up from sleeping. Get alert. Watch and pray. Stand by Jesus. That's important. While we're looking at different scriptures, would you please go back to Luke's Gospel? Go back to Luke's Gospel. Challenge is fairly similar in chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. The importance of watching. We start at verse 34 for context. Luke 21, verse 34. But take heed, there's that word again, it's a warning. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. That's like the man in the parable who went out carousing with the rest. Weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. Well, we don't have drunkenness, but we can have cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's in the tribulation time, Luke 21, Mark 13. Watch therefore, verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. Watch. Pray may be counted worthy. In other words, in Christ. So we can escape all the things that are coming ahead of us. Certainly so. And to stand before the Lord too. So that's important. We've been looking at different scriptures, haven't we? So would you go back to Mark's Gospel finally? Mark's Gospel. This time, chapter 14. Chapter 14 of Mark. And it's very similar, of course, to the scene we looked at in Matthew about the scene in Gethsemane. And verse 37 is useful here in parallel with Matthew's account. Mark 14, verse 37. He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?
1 hour?
Yeah, watch 1 hour, a short time. Could you not watch me for a short time? I'm not asking too much, Peter. But stand by me, pray with me, kneel by me, support me, encourage me in this real hour of trial that I've got. Now, of course, that's the same for us as fellow believers, to get alongside other Christians, to pray for them, to be watchful for them, stand by them in an hour of need. That's a practical element. But the whole theme of this, as I close now, is being watchful and prayerful. Wake up to watchfulness. That's like the theme in Nehemiah as well. Wake up to watchfulness. Look around the scene. Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem and he saw the scene of devastation there. And he went around the whole area of Jerusalem walls at nighttime because he had enemies around. And he surveyed everything that he saw him. And he was a man of prayer. He was a man of watchfulness. Nehemiah is a very wonderful book to go through. And we can learn a lot from it. So watch and pray. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Be a wakeful Christian in the light of the scene that is around us and the surely the imminent coming of the Lord. He's always imminent. He's imminent from the first century, but it's certainly more so now. So Father, just share that with you. Wake up to watchfulness. Watch and pray. Don't be like that temple guard who went to sleep and he had severe treatment from the captain of the temple. We have our own captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus, the same captain who faced Joshua at Jericho and led them with a sword in his hand to overcome the enemy. So there it is. Be watchful, be prayerful, be a good householder, be a good servant in the household of faith, as those two parables. Now, Lord isn't coming as a thief for us because we're expecting him. But he will come as a thief in the night to the world and indeed to Israel and the nations. Let that not be so for us. So let's be awake, be alert, be watchful and prayerful.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Can I interject?
There's a lot of encouragement there.
Yes.
And I was going to say, we're very fortunate that we can have our meetings here available. And it's a question of, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And I think this is what we're gleaning from our talks and fellowship together. And this one is, again, as I said time and time again, we are reminded of our calling, if you like, you know, it's just being reminded all the time.